This is Investigator Carvo. Today's date is November 29th, 2012, approximately 12 o'clock p.m. This will be an interview regarding special assignment number SA-12-026. And this interview is being conducted at the Santa Ana Police Officers Association building. And I'll ask everybody to introduce themselves from the tape.
Detective Andy Alvarez, Santa Ana PD Homicide, ID 2857.
Officer Antonio Graham, ID badge 2965.
Represent Officer Graham.
Okay, and Officer Graham, your first name is Antonio, right?
Yes.
Can you spell it for me?
A-N-T-O-N-I-O.
And is it all right if I call you Antonio?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give you a little admonition here. Is this a free and voluntary statement that you're going to give?
Yes.
has anyone from your agency ordered you to give a statement?
No.
Okay. And do you feel compelled to give a statement because the district attorney is involved? Do you feel like you're compelled to give a statement?
No.
Okay, I'm going to throw an extra one in here because you and I worked at the same time at Tustin PD. Do you feel compelled to give a statement or any way influenced to give a statement because we worked together in the past?
No.
Okay. And we're going to be talking about an incident that happened on October 22nd, 2012. At that time, were you working as a patrol officer for Santa Ana PD?
Yes, I was.
And how long have you been a patrol officer for Santa Ana PD?
8 years.
8 years? Okay. And do you have any rank there?
I'm an FTO, field training officer. Okay.
And how long have you been an FTO?
5 years.
All right. And prior to Santa Ana, I already mentioned you worked at Tustin PD, correct?
Yes.
And how long were you there?
3 years.
Did you work anywhere before Tustin?
Just not in a full-time
Not as a full-time? Okay. So you have about 11 years full-time as a police officer?
Yes.
Okay. On October 22nd, what shift were you working?
Graveyard patrol.
Was that your normal shift?
Yes. 6 at night to 6:30 in the morning.
Are you still currently working that shift?
Yes.
And was that a normal work day? It wasn't an overtime day or anything like that?
No, just a normal patrol day.
Okay. And what are your, or at the time, what were your days off?
I worked Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. My days off were Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Do you have any kind of a payback day or anything like that, or are you straight 312?
We do have a payback day, and it falls on a Wednesday.
Falls on a Wednesday for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the day of the week of this was, do you remember?
It was a Monday, right?
So Wednesday is your payback. How many hours a day is your payback day?
It's 12 and a half hours.
Also 12 and a half, okay. On this particular day, on October 22nd, how were you dressed?
In standard issued Santa Ana PD blue uniform.
Do you remember if you were wearing short sleeve or long sleeve?
I believe I was wearing, I don't remember. I think I was wearing long sleeve.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Can you describe that uniform to me? What it looks like, patches, badge, that kind of thing? What's on your uniform?
Blue wool uniform with Santa Ana PD patches on both sleeves, an FTO patch on both sleeves. My trousers and my Sam Brown belt, okay. Which was nylon, my gun, baton.
Badge on your uniform?
Yes.
On the left side, is that correct?
Yes.
Nameplate?
Yes.
Any other markings on the back or anything like that?
No.
Okay. When you say FTO patch, is it the letters FTO, or do they use like chevron stripes?
It's a stripe with a star.
Okay. Now you mentioned that you had your gun belt on. I want to kind of go through everything that you have on your gun belt. So if you want to start at one spot and work your way around, just list everything that you carry on duty.
I have starting from my left going around to my right, I have a a baton ring, which I carry a baton. Then I have a radio next to that. Mm-hmm. I have my department issue X26 taser. I have my OC spray that is behind that. Two handcuff cases, my gun, and a flashlight, and then a keeper.
Okay. Two handcuff cases, two singles or one double?
Two singles.
Two singles, okay. And then a flashlight that's separate from your gun?
Yes.
Okay. You don't have a flashlight mounted on your gun?
I do.
You do have a flashlight mounted. So you have a separate flashlight and the flashlight mounted on your gun?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't hear magazine. I'm sure you have magazines on there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Magazine, two magazines.
Okay. Front left?
Front left.
Okay. What kind of weapon do you carry as your primary duty weapon?
A Glock.
Do you know the model?
21.
Model 21?
Yes.
Is that a 40 cal?
Yes.
And do you know the magazine capacity?
16 and 1, I believe.
16 plus 1?
15 and 1.
15. Okay. So you think it's either 15 or 16 plus 1?
I think it's 16 plus 1, I believe. Or maybe, I don't know. I think it's 15 plus 1.
Okay.
15 plus 1.
That sounds right.
That sounds right.
So you carry 15 in the magazine, one chambered, and then two magazines with 15 each, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Do you carry a backup?
Yes.
And what kind of backup do you carry?
A Glock 27.
It's also a 40 cal, right?
Yes.
Do you carry extra magazines for your backup?
No, they are interchangeable with my duty.
Okay.
Rounds. But that has a magazine in it as well.
Right. And where do you carry that?
On my ankle, my left ankle.
Were you photographed by Orange County Sheriff's Department, CSI, on the evening of this incident?
Yes.
Okay. And were you photographed in the uniform you were wearing at the time of the incident?
Yes.
Okay. You said that you carried a taser, correct?
Yes.
An X26?
Yes.
Did you use that taser during this incident?
No.
On the day of this incident, do you know what police car you were assigned to? Do you know the unit number?
It was 856.
856. And what was your call sign?
372 Alpha.
So you were a two-officer unit, correct?
Correct.
Were you the driver or passenger officer?
The passenger.
What other weapons are inside that police car on the day of this incident? Do you have any long guns or any additional weapons?
Yes, a Ruger 40mm rifle.
Okay.
And a 40mm less than lethal.
Where are those kept? Are they?
The Ruger is kept in the rifle rack in the between the seats.
Okay.
And the 40mm is kept in the trunk.
Okay. Is there a video recorder in the vehicle?
No.
Do any of your department vehicles have video recorders that you know of?
No.
Okay. Were you carrying an audio recorder of any kind?
No.
And do you know if anybody else at the scene was?
No.
Okay. That's kind of the preliminary stuff. I want to just have you go through the incident in as much detail as you can remember, starting with when you received the call for service, where you responded from, where you went, what you did and saw. And try and be as detailed as you can, and then I'll follow up with any questions. And include not only what you saw, but also what you heard and what you were thinking at the time that all of this was going on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Me and Officer Enriquez received the dispatch call to respond to the area of the high school regarding, I believe it was Pine. I don't remember the exact address that they put out. That was a while ago. And we responded somewhere, I believe Bishop somewhere. I don't know, we was down south somewhere. We responded because it was a call of a possible robbery in progress. a male subject had just robbed someone, and he said he had a gun. There were several calls received, and so we responded. On the way there, I was thinking that it was actually a legitimate call, because we get a lot of calls that, you know, sometimes people call and say it's a gun, this guy got a gun, and it never ended up being, but I remember thinking that it was a serious call, because we have multiple reporting parties on this call. So at this point, we start going closer to the scene. I took my gun out of the holster just because I figured it was probably a guy that was going to be there with a gun, you know, thinking that in case he, you know, was there or ambushed or anything, that I'd be prepared at this point. So my attention was heightened, you know, my feelings, I was more attentive because I figured this is a legitimate call. We pull up, I believe it was Ross Street, and we see several subjects in the middle of the street waving, flagging us down. Officer Enriquez then pulled up to, I believe it was Pine Street from Ross. It was a gentleman standing out there pointing down in the easterly direction, stating that a guy has a gun. He's down there, pointing in the east direction on Pine. I looked down Pine Street. I think it was the alleyway. It was down Pine, and we pulled down Pine. And I remember seeing at the end of the street, it was a subject that was pacing back and forth in the backyard. He didn't have a hoodie or anything. He had on, I believe, a white shirt or a shirt like that, and some jeans. I remember he was circling, looking as if he was trying to escape or get or climb over a fence. He was on the other side of a fence. Officer Regas then pulled closer to the subject. We then exited our vehicles. I had my gun drawn because I was expecting maybe this guy may engage us in any way, because he didn't see us at this point when we were blacked out. We drove down the alley, so I'm thinking that, you know, he did see us, which was an advantage. It was a light that was just ahead of him, but I believe it was kind of dark where we were approaching. And also because it approached tactically with our guns drawn. The closer we got to the fence, I then yelled verbal commands for the subject to put his hands in the air. I yelled several times, "Put your hands in the air, put your hands in the air." He continued to pace back and forth. He seemed agitated, you know, it appeared that he was under influence or something, the possible drugs or drunk. I then ordered him to go to the ground. He started to go to the ground at this point on his knees, but he still was kind of semi-uncooperative because he wouldn't do exactly what I told him to do. He would continue to kind of look back and forth as if he was looking for a way to escape. At this point, the closer I got to the fence, it was probably a seven-foot chain link fence with a chain around it, as if it was a gate where you could open, you know, in front of us. Officer Enriquez was side on my, I believe it was left side. He was standing left side tactically. I then ordered him again to go to stay on the ground. I believe he made a couple statements. He was screaming, saying he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't know, he's looking for his girlfriend or something to that effect. And then he got on the ground with both his hands, with his head facing me. At this point, I'm kind of trying to figure out what we need to do, because this guy is looking agitated. He's looking around. And I figured that I needed to do something to take this guy in custody, because the backyard was kind of full of debris. It was a couple cars back there. It was dark in the backyard. So I told him, I remember telling him to put his face down to the ground and not look at me. And he refused to do that. He kept looking away and looking away. And I said, I told him, put your head down, put your head down. Probably about four times, and he still didn't do it. So at this point, I holstered my weapon. Officer Enriquez was still in his position. And I then scaled the fence to go take custody of this guy. He started getting up. He did get up and proceeded to run away from the location. He was laying probably about 4 feet away from the fence, the chain link fence there. So I scaled the fence. Once I came to the ground, he turned and ran. I pursued him. I then heard a couple gunshots. And then I ended up catching the suspect closer to the, in between a car and the chain link fence that was inside of the backyard. And then at this point, I grabbed him and took him into custody, and then waited for officers to come and assist me.
Okay. Going back to when you got the call, Officer Enriquez, I assume, was the driver officer. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You said it was dispatched as a robbery in progress and that the suspect had a gun. And you had multiple calls on that?
Yes.
Do you remember how the suspect was described in the call?
They described him, I believe, as a male in his 20s with a hooded sweatshirt on, and was last seen running in the area. Okay. And the reporting party is, I believe, were following him or something.
Okay. Do you remember if they gave a clothing description as far as color or anything like that?
I believe it said brown or gold or something to that effect.
And you said as you guys were driving into the area or getting close to the scene is when you actually unholstered your gun. So you had your gun out while you were still in the
yes.
patrol unit, right?
Yes.
Okay. And you said that you did that because of the multiple calls on this person reporting him as being a gun. You took that this was most likely a legitimate call of a man with a gun.
Yeah, and my concern was that if he would pull up in a dark alley or anything, this guy would come around the corner and just start shooting. And, you know, being in a car in a tight confinement area that I wouldn't have enough time to unholster my weapon at that point and engage him if I needed to. So I put my gun in my lap to make sure that I'll be able to give me a tactical advantage to be able to get out of the car quickly and engage the suspect if he did have a gun.
I have a couple of overhead maps that I want to show you. So it'll help us maybe see where you came from, where you pulled into, and all that. They all just kind of, one starts out a little bit wider and they narrow in. So I believe the high school is over here, isn't that right? This area? When we say the high school, you're talking about Santa Ana High School, is that correct?
Yes, correct, yeah.
So it's labeled, there's Ross Street, here's Pine, and here's Walnut.
Okay, and this is the alleyway, I think.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can we put an orientation arrow on there?
For north?
Yeah, for north, just so we know which side.
And I believe north is going to be going this direction. That look right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this map that I'm showing you now, it's a wide angle view, basically overhead. And then next to it, I have one that's a little more narrowed in. And again, you can see Ross, and I'll put north again up here. You can see Ross and Pine. You can't see Walnut Street on this map, but you can see this alley that I think you referred to in the first one.
Yeah.
And then this one's pretty well narrowed in, and this is actually, north is going to be this way. And this one's pretty well narrowed in, this being the alley.
Correct.
Okay. So you said that when you guys arrived, you think you arrived at Ross and Pine.
Correct.
And you saw some men in the street or somebody in the street that kind of flagged you down?
Yes.
Is that correct? So where on this map that's kind of a wider angle, where would you have been?
We were somewhere, it was a couple people up here before, just north of the alleyway, and then it was a couple people standing like right by the alleyway here. So when we pulled up, they were about right just south of the alleyway.
Okay, and you said they pointed east. They pointed you east and said the guy was east of where you were at, correct?
Correct. Yes, that
way. So did they point you down Pine Street, or did they point you down this alleyway here?
Down the alleyway.
Okay. And then when you, did you pull down that alleyway?
Yes.
Okay. And they told you that there was a guy with a gun that was down there, correct?
Correct.
And you said that you were blacked out, meaning you had no headlights on, no spotlights or anything?
Correct.
Okay. As you pulled down this alleyway, do you know where you came to a stop, where you actually parked your police car?
I believe it was somewhere right in here.
Okay.
Just in between here.
So, on this more narrow picture, this alleyway that you originally drove down, it comes to a T intersection with another alley, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So you parked a little bit west of that T intersection?
That's correct.
Okay. If you wouldn't mind, could you draw in where you think you put your, where you guys parked your unit? Now, when you parked there, where you indicated, could you see the male that you talked about pacing back and forth? Could you already see him before you parked your unit?
Yes.
Okay. When did you first see him?
At the end of the alleyway, but when we entered the alleyway.
So way back here, as soon as you pulled into the alleyway, you could see him?
Yes.
Okay. And what did you see? What did he look like?
He had a shaved head. He was wearing a t-shirt. Younger guy. Looked like he was in his 20s. Between 18 and 25. Somewhere in that range.
Okay.
Clean shaven, I don't believe he... I think he had maybe a mustache. I couldn't see his mustache from that far, but I knew he was bald. Okay. Male Hispanic with a t-shirt on.
And when you first saw him, did you think that that was the suspect you were looking for?
Yes.
And why was that? What
because
kind
of
drew your
attention? Witness actually were pointing and saying, that's the guy. They pointed him out.
Okay, so they pointed him out and said, that's the guy.
Yes.
Okay. Did it matter to you at all that he wasn't wearing a hoodie or a brown sweater or anything that was originally dispatched?
No.
And why not?
Because witnesses get, descriptions wrong. He could have taken it off.
Okay.
And they actually said, that's the guy.
Okay.
So my thought process was, that's him, regardless of the clothing was, I didn't even think about the clothing at that point.
Okay. In your experience, in your 11 years as a police officer, have you experienced or seen or come across suspects who, while fleeing the police or leaving the scene of a crime, have taken clothing off or discarded clothing?
Yes.
Is that fairly common?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So the witnesses actually pointed him out, said, that's the guy. So you were instantly focused on him.
Yes.
Okay. As you pull down the alley, blacked out, you said he's pacing back and forth. Can you on this narrow map show me what area of the backyard? Now, this is this house here. I'm going to write in 210 because this is 210 South Birch. So I put 210 on this one house. And the backyard of 210 South Birch is where this incident took place. You can see a white car here in the backyard, and I believe that white car was actually there that night. Other than that, this aerial is not necessarily how it looked that night as far as cars being parked there or not being parked there.
Mm-hmm.
But the chain link gate that you were talking about, or fence, would have been right across here. Does that look correct to you?
Yes.
Okay. If you could show me on the map where you think that guy was when you first saw him.
It's in this area here.
Okay. So you put a circle there in the backyard just south of that white car with an X in it.
Correct.
And how far inside the backyard from the chain link gate do you think he was?
I would say about maybe 5 or 6 feet from the chain link fence.
And you say he's pacing back and forth. What do you mean by that?
He's walking around as if he's trying to find a way to get out. I believe he attempted to climb the fence when we were approaching.
Okay.
but he looked like he was trying to get out of the backyard. Like he was looking, like, where do I need, where can I go? What do I need? You know, he was pacing, looking for something to, or get out or hide. I don't know what he was trying to do.
And I think you also said that he didn't see you guys approaching.
Not initially, no.
And what makes you think that?
Because he never directly looked in our direction. He was kind of looking back and forth in the backyard. And then when he attempted to hop the gate, he jumped back down. And he continued to pace back and forth. And that's what we approached him.
When you... okay, so then you park your police car and exit. Do you have your duty weapon out, unholstered at that time?
Yes.
And do you know if Officer Enriquez has his duty weapon out?
He does.
He does. Where did you go, and where did Officer Enriquez go?
I was in the passenger seat side of the vehicle, of course. I exited, and I came alongside here, this way, and then Officer Enriquez came along this way.
Okay, if you could draw a line from the car for each of you to where you went, and then like maybe put your initials or something at the end of that. Okay, so you drew a line to kind of the south side of where that chain link gate was for you, and put AG, and then a line to the kind of the north side of the gate, is that right?
Yes.
And DE for David Enriquez?
Yes.
At what point do you start issuing commands or addressing this subject?
I believe right when we come to the alleyway here, the crest of it.
Okay.
I believe I started yelling commands at that point while I was approaching.
Okay. Could you maybe put an X there where you think you'd... And then, were you the only one issuing commands, or did Officer Enriquez also?
I don't remember if he did or not.
Okay. And you remember saying things to him like, put your hands up, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Did you identify yourself as Santa Ana Police?
No.
No. Okay. Just went straight to, let me put your hands up?
Yes.
Okay. And did he react when you yelled the commands at him? He did put his hands up, okay.
He did put his hands up.
Did he turn and face you?
He was already facing me.
Okay. Do you think he had seen you at that point as you approached?
Yes.
Okay. What was the lighting like at the time?
It's actually a light that was right there where we were at. Just in the alleyway, though.
Okay. And I think you can kind of see it right here in the corner of where the two alleys intersect.
Is that correct? It's a light there, yes.
Okay. And then what about in the backyard itself? Was there any light?
No, not that I recall.
Okay, so it's fairly light in the alleyway where you are, but darker in the backyard where he is?
Correct.
Were you using a flashlight or anything to shine on him?
I don't know if I clicked it on or not, the one that's on my gun. I don't remember if I did or not.
Okay. Okay, so you yell at him, put your hands up, and he's facing you, and he puts his hands up. Does he put them all the way up, elbows extended? Does he have them?
He put his elbows extended.
Okay. And then what happens next?
And then I tell him to order him to the ground.
Okay.
And then he starts to get to the ground. And that's when he starts yelling. And then he goes to the ground in the prone position.
So you order him to the ground. Did he immediately start to follow your orders?
I believe I had to tell him a couple of times.
Okay. And what was he doing during that time while you're giving him commands and he's not doing it right away on the first one, but you're telling him a couple of times? Was he pacing? Was he still standing still? Was he looking around?
Standing and looking around at that point.
Okay. What were you thinking when you saw him, that he was not going to the ground and that he was looking around?
I was thinking that he was going to try to escape or get away or grab something, do something, but he was looking like he was going to do something.
Okay. At this point, up to this point, had you put out any radio traffic that you guys had a suspect or anything like that?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Okay. Do you know if Officer Enriquez did?
No.
Okay. While you have him at gunpoint and you're initially giving commands, do you know if you put out any radio traffic that you had one at gunpoint or anything like that?
I never got on the radio.
Okay.
Officer Enriquez did. I never got on the radio.
Did you hear Officer Enriquez put out any radio traffic? up to that point?
You know, I don't know, because I was focused on the suspect. You
okay.
know, he was the radio guy.
Okay.
So I don't know if he did or not.
Okay. So you were giving commands, and Officer Enriquez was pretty much the radio guy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you have your handgun pointed at this subject, and you're telling him to get down to the ground. He's got his arms extended straight over his head. And eventually, after a couple or three times of telling him to go down, he gets down on his knees. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, he gets down on a prone position.
Oh, he gets... Okay, so he goes all the way prone on his stomach.
Yes.
And then what are you... Are you telling him anything else, giving him any other commands?
Because he still was looking back and forth with his head. His head was still up.
Okay.
And I told him to put his face to the ground.
Okay.
Several times, and he never did.
All right. And then what happened next after that?
Then he attempted to kind of get up in a semi, get from the prone position, kind of stand up.
Okay.
And that's when I jumped the fence.
Okay, so he started to stand up before you started to jump the fence?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, and when you say he started to stand up, did he get up onto his knees? Did he just start to, like, push
kinda
up
like
from the
push
ground?
Up, yeah, like in a push up. Like pushing his hands up, kind of like this, but okay. Not his legs, just his
like
torso.
Arching his back.
Yeah.
And okay, so you thought he was getting ready to get up and run or something?
Yes.
So you decided that you needed to get over the fence to take him into custody?
That's correct.
Okay. And I believe you said you holstered first?
Yes.
And were you yelling anything, giving him any commands as you were doing that, when you saw him start to get back up again?
No, I know I told him to stay on the ground and don't move and put his face down, I believe.
Okay.
But once I was climbing the fence, I don't believe I said anything at that point.
Okay. So you climb the fence. Are you able to watch him while you're climbing the fence?
Yes.
Okay. And what does he do while you're climbing the fence?
This point, he gets up and starts to run.
And where did he start to run?
Do you want me to show you the map?
Sure. Yeah, that would be good.
But, he started running east in the backyard.
Okay.
Along the wall here.
Along the south wall?
Yes.
Now, at the time, this white car that's in the map, I believe, was there. Was there another vehicle parked on the kind of the south side of that driveway?
Yes.
Do you remember what that was?
No, I think it was on a tarp or something.
Okay. There was one in the tarp deeper back here. Do you remember there being a pickup truck close to the front of the gate?
Yeah, I believe there's another vehicle there.
Okay. Do you remember in relation to that, I think it was a blue pickup truck, where in relation to that truck he had proned out, whether it was between the truck and the gate or between the truck and the white car?
I believe it was in between the truck and the white car.
Okay. So on the, like, on the north side of the truck?
Yes.
Okay. Then when he got up and started to run, did he run around onto the south side of that truck?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yes.
And I know it's been a month, more than a month since this happened. There was also some trash cans that were down along this south wall of the backyard. Does that sound correct to you?
Yes.
When he ran in relation to the trash cans and the truck, do you remember where he went?
I believe he ran on the south side of the pickup truck. I ran on the north side of the pickup truck.
Okay.
I believe. And kind of engaged him at the third car that was in the backyard.
Okay. Now, so he turns and he starts to run down this along the south wall between the truck and the wall.
Yes.
You said you ran along the north side, so that truck is basically between the two of you.
Yes.
Could you see him very well as you were running along the north side of the pickup?
Yes, I was watching.
Okay. What could you see?
I know he... I think he tripped over some trash cans or something.
Okay.
And he was running along the wall, trying to go through the whatever debris or something that was over there. And then he ran in between a car and a wall, and was kind of trying to climb over it because it was, I guess it was pinned up against the wall.
The car was the
car,
in the tarp? Yeah.
Underneath the tarp. So it was kind of tight and in between there. And then that's when I went in between the car and the wall behind him.
Okay. At some point, you said you heard a couple of gunshots. Mm-hmm. When did that happen?
I was over the, I believe I was over the fence, and I was running after him, and then I heard the gunshots.
Where were you when you heard the gunshots?
You know, I don't know. I was over the fence.
Okay.
I believe I was over the fence. I mean, I don't know the exact timing, or it happened so fast, you know.
Right.
But I believe I was over the fence, and then I was running and heard the gunshots, so.
Do you remember exactly where he was when you heard the gunshots?
He was along the south wall somewhere.
Okay.
He's along the south wall, I believe.
Okay. After you heard the gunshots, go ahead. After you heard the gunshots, what did he do after you heard the gunshots? Did he continue to run? Did he fall to the ground? Did he react?
He continued to run.
He continued to run.
Yes.
So you know for sure that after you heard the gunshots, he was still running.
Yes.
Okay. So he runs along the south wall. He's sounds like he stumbled or something. He stumbled or something when he went past the trash cans. There's some other debris back there. The third car that's underneath the tarp is real tight to that south wall, and he's trying to get over and past that, correct?
Yes.
And that's where you caught up to him?
Yes.
Okay. So you had gone around along the north side of the truck, around the east end of that truck to catch up to him where that third car was?
Yes.
When you catch up to him where that car under the tarp was he on top of the car? Was he trying to get, where exactly was he?
He was in between the wall and the car, and he was trying to climb over the car.
Trying to climb over the car to continue east?
Correct.
Towards Birch?
Yes.
And what did you do?
I grabbed him and threw him to the ground.
Okay. How did you grab him? Where did you grab him?
I believe along his shoulder or something like that. Punched him a couple times, and then I threw him to the ground. I don't know where exactly I grabbed him, though.
Okay. So when you grabbed him, what was his response to you grabbing him?
He continued to try to move away. Okay. He made to pull away from me.
Okay, so he's trying to pull away from you?
Yes.
You said you punched him a couple of times?
Yes.
Do you remember where you punched him?
In his face.
Okay. So you grab him, he's trying to get away from you. Does he spin back towards you? Do you turn him? How do you get to his face if he's trying to get away from you?
I grab him. He kind of turns towards me, kind of in a semi, kind of when I think I grabbed his left shoulder or something. And I'm trying to grab him, and he's pulling, but he's kind of turning towards me at the same time.
Okay.
So I was in fear that he probably, if he did have a weapon, reaching his waistband or turn around and hit me or stab me or whatever it is. So that's why I punched him.
Okay. And then you said you threw him to the ground. Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
Or took him to the ground somehow?
Yes.
And that was that on the west side of that car that's covered by the tarp?
No, we were in between the car and the wall.
You were in between the car and the wall?
Yeah, we were still in between the car and the wall. I had to pull him out after we handcuffed and everything too.
Okay. Was it a pretty tight space in there?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So you actually got him on the ground in between the car that was under the tarp and the wall, that south wall of the property?
Yes.
Okay. And then once you got him on the ground, you handcuffed him?
I don't think I was the one that handcuffed him.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think I handcuffed him at all.
Who do you think handcuffed him?
That I don't even know.
Got him down on the ground.
Right.
And what happens next then?
Got him on the ground. I had held him down. I grabbed his arm to handcuff him.
Uh-huh.
I really don't think I handcuffed him though. I think either, I don't know who was there that handcuffed him or handed me the handcuff. I don't know. It was at that point. But I know he's handcuffed at that point. But
okay.
I don't remember if I did or not. I don't think I did.
And at that point, he's still between that car that's under the tarp and the wall of the property?
Yes.
Okay, and then you said you had to pull him out from there?
Yes.
Okay. Once you pull him out, where does he end up?
Just on the was the west side of the car, the car with the tarp.
Okay.
Just at the bumper, kind of like at the bumper.
Okay. And what happens then after you get them out from that tight spot?
Get them off, check them for weapons, immediately check them for weapons, his waistband, everything.
Uh-huh.
And check him for injuries, if he was shot or hit or anything.
Okay, and what did you find?
Actually, I got blood on my hand because I didn't even realize it. I didn't think it was hit at that point, but I realized I had got blood on me because he was hit. And then I believe another officer came up and started rendering aid or whatever.
Okay. Did you find any weapons when you checked his waistband?
No.
And you said that you had blood on you, and you eventually discovered that he had been hit by a gunshot.
Yes.
Do you know where he got hit?
I believe it was a butt cheek.
Okay.
One of the butt cheeks.
And then another officer came and started rendering first aid to him?
Yes.
Was he saying anything during any of this interaction?
You know what? I don't remember if he did. I know he was screaming a lot during the contact. I know he was screaming about a girlfriend. And I don't remember if he said any statements or anything at that point. I don't remember if he did, but I know he was screaming.
Okay. That was when you first were giving him commands and all that. He was yelling something about his girlfriend. He was there to see his girlfriend or something.
Something like that. But then after I took contact, when he started screaming after that too.
But after you had him in handcuffs or you had control of him?
I don't remember what he was.
Okay.
Said or anything.
Okay. During this entire incident, while you're scaling the fence and he's running and you're chasing after him, do you remember Officer Enriquez saying anything, yelling anything, or anything like that?
No.
Okay. After you had him and you had the subject in custody, did Officer Enriquez say anything to you?
No.
Did you know where the gunshots came from when you heard the gunshots?
No, initially I didn't at all.
When was the first time you figured out that Officer Enriquez had fired his weapon?
I remember hearing the shots, and I remember looking, glancing back at... I didn't know where they were coming from, but then I remember glancing back after kind of like the second set of shots and kind of looking over my shoulder, and I looked at him, and he still was on the other side of the fence, and I figured it was him at that point because it was all kind of... It surprised me because I'm like, I didn't know. It was just going on so fast. I didn't know where it was coming from. There was somebody in the neighborhood. I didn't know exactly because I believe I couldn't see him at that point, Officer Enriquez. So.
Right. Okay, so you didn't know for sure. So when did you figure out that he did, in fact, fire his weapon?
When I looked back and glanced at him, I looked back and I figured that it was him.
Okay.
I figured when I looked at him, if it was somebody else, he probably wouldn't have been engaging him or anything like that. So he was still in the same position. And that's why I figured it was him that fired his weapon.
And at any point, did he tell you?
Yeah, was your question, when did you know for sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, when did you know for sure?
Yeah, you said that you figured it was him.
What you were assuming. When did you know for sure?
Oh, well, when I looked at him and when I glanced after I heard the shots and looked at him, I knew that it was him that fired.
Okay. But you didn't actually see him. You didn't see the muzzle flash. You didn't actually see him fire his weapon,
No,
right?
I did not.
Okay. Did he at any point tell you that he fired his weapon? Did you hear him put out officer-involved shooting, a 998 or anything like that?
I heard him put out on the radio 998.
Okay. Do you remember where you, at what point in the sequence that happened that you heard him put out a 998 on the radio?
No. I don't remember.
Okay. At that point, when you heard the 998 on the radio, was that the first time that you knew for a fact an officer had discharged their weapon?
Okay, I'm confused. You said knew at this that point or the point when I looked?
Well, you said the first time when you were describing, looking back over your shoulder, you suspected he was the one that fired his gun, but you didn't actually see him fire his gun,
That's
right?
Correct.
So what I'm getting at is taking that out because you didn't actually see him shoot. He didn't tell you he shot at that point.
Right.
Was the first time you knew an officer had actually shot for a fact was when you heard it on the radio, the 998?
Yes.
Okay. While you're chasing this the subject, and he's running between the truck and stumbling over the trash cans and all that. You're on the opposite side of the truck from him, correct?
Yes.
And you said that you were keeping an eye on him, you were watching him while you were chasing him. What part of him could you see? Could you see his entire body from head to toe? Was the truck blocking some of his body from your view?
Initially, yes. I couldn't see. I seen his upper torso portion. And I couldn't see his bottom half because it was covered by the truck. But once he starts stumbling, I can see his body.
Okay. When he stumbles, does he actually go down to the ground?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Could you see if he was carrying anything in his hands?
Well, initially he didn't have anything in his hands at all because he went, put his hands in the air, went to the crawl position, so I didn't see anything in his hands.
What about when he was running?
I didn't see anything in his hands then.
Okay. At any point while you were chasing him, did you lose sight of his hands so that you couldn't see where his hands were or whether or not there was something in his hands?
When he went on the side of the pickup truck, it's kind of hard to see, but I don't know if I actually lost sight of his hand. It was just fluid, you know. I don't know if he was concealed where I just did see his hands. It was kind of, he was running, so
right.
That was kind of, it's kind of, I wouldn't say I actually lost sight of him, but I would say that I kind of had a visual of him.
Okay. You know. So it sounds like you could see part of him. The truck was a full-size truck or a pretty large truck. You could see him, so you knew where he was, you knew where he was going, but is it safe to assume you couldn't see his entire body while he's running alongside that truck?
Correct.
Okay. How long do you think this lasted from the time that he starts to get up and while you're going over the fence to the time you actually take him into custody?
I would say like 25 seconds maybe. It was pretty fairly quick.
Okay. Did he ever make any statements about getting shot, having been shot? Did he make any statements to you at all that you heard while he was in custody or while they were doing first aid on him? Did he ever say anything about being shot?
No, that I remember, no.
Okay. Did Officer Enriquez ever say anything to you about why he shot at this guy or what he was thinking at the time?
No.
Okay. After he was taken into custody, additional officers arrived, right?
Yes.
And then what did you do or where did you go? What happened to you?
At that point, I then got away from the situation and I stood off to the side and let the other officers kind of handle the taking into custody and the paramedics and all that stuff.
Okay. So. Did a supervisor eventually show up?
Yes.
Do you remember who that was?
Corporal Nelson showed up.
Okay.
I believe Sergeant Brown was there.
Do you know if either one of those got a statement from either you or Officer Enriquez, what people call a safety statement?
I gave that to Corporal Nelson.
You did?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember what you told him?
He asked me who shot. I told him who shot, and then I believe he asked how many, and I said I'm not sure, and then that was about it.
Okay. At the time that all this happened, how many shots do you think you heard?
Four.
Four? Okay. And then after you gave your statement to Corporal Nelson, were you taken back to Santa Ana PD, or did you drive yourself back?
I was taken back.
Okay. And did you have any further contact with Officer Enriquez that night?
No.
We're not. So you guys were?
No.
You guys were separated?
Yes.
Until much later that night?
Yes.
Okay. And Sheriff's Department crime scene investigators came, took pictures of you.
Yes.
And I believe you had a small cut or an injury to your hand. Is that right?
Yeah, a little abrasion from a knuckle, I believe.
Okay. And did you ever have to seek medical treatment for that?
No.
Okay.
Do you have anything, Andy?
I do.
When you guys first arrived on scene, you said there's people pointing down that alley, that east-west alley. Do you remember about how many people?
I believe it was a security guard, and it was two other people. I believe a male and a female.
So at least three people are pointing you guys to that direction?
At least three that I remember.
You mentioned earlier that the guy in the backyard at some point looked like he tried to climb the fence. Did he actually grab the fence to try to climb over it?
Yes.
The same one that you jumped over to get in the backyard?
Correct.
Okay. And was that before you guys actually contacted him?
Yes.
Before you gave commands or anything?
Yes.
Okay. Had you guys already arrived at that spot in the alley and parked your car and got out when he was trying to do that?
Believe me, we were approaching when he did that.
Okay. On foot? Approaching on foot? Or approaching,
approaching
in the car?
In the car.
In the car? Yeah. You know, you mentioned that there was a light, like right there at that corner, we'll call it the northwest corner of the T intersection of that alley. Mm-hmm. But the backyard, was backyard illuminated at all, or was it, do you remember if it was?
I don't think it was illuminated.
It was dark in there?
Yes.
Did that, you know, the fact that, you know, you're responding to this, you know, robbery in progress call, and supposedly this guy has a gun, did that, and, you know, it's dark back there, they're pointing you in that direction, that heightened your sense of awareness that, you know, or your sense of danger that this is potentially a dangerous suspect I'm about to contact, and the fact that it's dark back there and everything?
Yes.
When you guys contacted the guy, or when you contacted the guy in the backyard, you said, you know, you start giving him commands, telling him to go down to the ground, put his hands up and all that, and he's not really following your commands. He was looking around. It took a while for him to actually get down in the prone position. And you said that even when he was in the prone position, he's still kind of doing the look around?
Yes.
From your experience as a police officer and contacting the suspects in the past and everything, is that behavior consistent with somebody who might be trying to formulate a plan or to escape or maybe assault you or something?
Yeah, I figured that's what he was doing because it's typical behavior, looking around, trying to figure out what can they do, how can they escape. And I'm thinking that's what he was doing because that's the behavior he was exhibiting at that time.
And you've experienced that before in the past, on past situations?
Yes.
When you said when the guy ended up getting up and running along that south wall in between the truck and the wall, you ran in between the other vehicle that was parked along like the garage, the I guess it'd be the north wall. This white car that's parked
yes.
in this picture, you ran in between that vehicle and the truck that was parked
yes.
there? Okay. And so, is it correct that to say that you could still see the guy like kind of over the truck, but you know there's moments that you're losing maybe sight of his hands and everything as he's running and trying to scurry through that tight area?
Correct.
Okay. And the first time you realized that an officer-involved shooting had occurred, that an officer had shot, was when you heard Officer Enriquez put out a 998 on the radio.
Yes. I mean, that's when I realized that.
That it was an right. officer who
yes.
shot. Okay. But until then, you didn't know if it was the suspect you were chasing or an officer or somebody else.
Well, it's kind of a fluid kind of, you know, I initially thinking, yes, my partner did shoot, but confirming it, like say with the radio traffic and
right.
different things, because I didn't actually see it. But
okay,
so
when the shots happened, could you tell what direction from you they came from?
Yes.
And where were they coming from?
They're from behind.
From behind you. Okay.
When you heard the gunshots, were you on? Were you separated from the suspect by the truck? In other words, was that during the time that he was going up one side of the truck and you were going up the other?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's it.
All right. I'm going to end the interview at 12:56.